So I am in rare form tonight.
Are you ready?
No, just for the sake of, I'm also a little tipsy right now.
Oh, Joby, I was drinking while streaming. No,
because mind you, like, again, I was not drinking this year until I lost weight, but...
Oh, wait!
Yeah, in the past 2 weeks, I'm like, you know what? I need me a drink. After a week of handling the martial arts school by myself, another week of just, like, we're trying to get back into the groove, and then I fucked up my foot. I'm like, I need a beer, which turned into, like, 5 beers.
Okay, but to be fair, though, Joby...
Well, to be fair...
You have not drank since, what, October? Did you drink? No, you didn't even drink in October.
No, I drank in October. I started going sober around that time, but my last drink was New Year's.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Like, New Year's Day, but, like, it was really just, like, let's have, like, champagne and or stuff with just, like, some small things. It was me and my sister. We weren't looking to get drunk. We were just having a couple drinks just for the sake of it felt, you know, appropriate for that time. But this is the first time where I'm just like, let's go, boys. Cheers. Let's have fun. Oh, hey, we're downing 9 to 12% alcoholic beer.
Damn, what kind of beer are y'all having?
So we have a really good brewery right by my martial arts school, which is really fucking annoying.
Is it across the street? You've talked about this.
It is across the street from the martial arts school.
Right, you have said this.
Yeah. The beer is really good because they have a good variety of a lot of things. If you like IPAs, you get an IPA. You want something light, you can get something light. You like some stouts, you get some stouts. You want something that's pretty heavy, that's like 12%, you got some of that too.
I cannot believe that there's 12%.
Yup, they got a 12%, and that thing's delicious, which is dangerous.
Lord, okay.
But the main one that we were all drinking was a 9.3. Still no slouch, but it was good. That was a good beer. So if you and or anyone else would like to come to Hackettstown and join me for some, that is a great spot to have, right around the corner. And if we ever get froggy, I'm just like, hey, let's kick some paths, let's punch some bags.
Oh my god.
And all not right. try well, to bust your foot like I did this past week.
Yeah, no injuries, please. You can talk about it here, or you can talk about it later. I want to know what happened to your foot.
Gross version, or...
Oh wait, no, you've told me. No, you've told me.
The gross version? Yeah.
You've told me the light version because I asked you not to talk about it because I don't want to hear about blood.
That's fair.
And that's really bad because we saw so much blood.
And then we're talking about Mortal Kombat. There is a lot of blood in Mortal Kombat.
I
am so happy that that is the case. But with all that being said, let's just get into this one. Welcome, everyone, to the Movie Masochist Podcast, where two friends try to find the fun in painful films. My name is Joby.
Hello, I'm Kim.
And speaking of all the blood and all the things and all the carnage, Mortal Kombat came out strong.
Oh my god, that makes one of us, Joby. That makes one of us.
50%. 70% strong? 70% strong. I will say 70% strong.
70%? That still feels kind of high, guy.
It is generous. I will firmly admit I'm being generous with this movie, but I did not come into this with super high expectations. I didn't watch the first 7 minutes like a lot of people did going into this.
I didn't do that either.
And for some people, it did skew their perception of this movie. The first teaser that came out, besides the trailer, was the 7 minutes of the Sub-Zero Scorpion storyline.
The front?
Yeah.
Really? That is a misleading.
And that is insanely misleading because story-wise and everything else, that was the best amount of story that the entire movie gave us. And that vibe, that story did not carry the rest of the movie.
That pissed me off, dude. That pissed me off. Yeah.
And for us to have like our emotional center slash who we're supposed to care about the most was possibly the weakest character out of everyone. That was a big problem.
Cole, right?
Yeah, he wasn't that dynamic. He wasn't that great. If he was just a supporting character, fine. But him being possibly the main character, it wasn't great. Like, everyone else, like, I was more intrigued by the Sub-Zero Scorpion storyline. I was more intrigued by Kano. He was a fun-ass character.
You and I have very different thoughts about Kano.
Fair enough. I mean, we had differing opinions before with Johnny Storm.
That is very true.
Like, you thought he was just a straight-up asshole. I thought he was fun. I feel like this is kind of in the same vein. him being the only one who really actually has some personality, I thought he was fun. No one else really had personality, you know what
I mean? I hear you, though. No. I hear you 100% because everyone basically flatlined.
It was the same note. It was all the same note.
I wanted to really enjoy Sonya Blade's character, but it's like every female character that they put in this literally had one thing to do, and I know that they tried to do, like, the redemption for her by fighting Kano, and it was like, it wasn't great. Like,
it wasn't enough.
I felt bad.
Yeah.
And like every other female character, I'm like, they wasted their screen time by not even giving them some of their like really badass finishing moves. They all just kind of fucking died and that's it.
Well, in that respect, they only had two female fighters.
Three.
Oh, right. Three. Right. I forgot about the flying chick who was there for all of 0.5 seconds.
Yep.
Sorry. Apologies again, on that end.
Again, does this movie fit the Bechdel test?
I believe it does.
Probably not. Oh, it does?
Vaguely. So you have five female characters by name. I will not be able to say all their names, but you have Sonya Blade, you have Melina, you have the flying chick, Cole's wife, and Cole's daughter. They all have names. I don't know what their names are. The last three, at least.
One is Emily.
Sure.
And I'm pretty sure that's going to be wrong.
Again, sure. I don't know. I cannot confirm or deny this before I Google
again.
First of all, Joby,
the fact that you cannot remember their names, also the fact that I cannot remember their names, not a great sign for them.
To me, the last three that I can't remember, in my mind, were never characters in the video game. Like, Cole wasn't even a character in the video games.
Yeah, I got really confused about him.
Yeah, the only reason I remember him is because he is the main character. If not for that, I probably would have forgot him because, again, he is not that dynamic. He is somewhat forgettable in that regard.
I'm so upset about that, and this will probably just lean into, like, just, like, this is the only saving grace. He's just hot. That's it. He's hot, and he can fight, and that's it.
In terms of that character?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's just hot.
Where it's funny that they actually call it, like, where Kano calls him the pretty boy, and I'm like, well played. Yeah. Because out of everyone, he is the eye candy.
Yeah. It's so bad. I mean, what is his name? Jax. Jax can also count for that, too.
He's a decent-looking dude, but then also when you look at him where he's, like, armless slash really weak android arms, it's just like, not as attractive.
Ignore the weak android arms and wait for the upgrade,
yeah.
You know?
If it's just him within the first 10 minutes where he's just standing there with a gun and being, like, all kind of, like, big-browed and brooding, being, like, the guy to save the day, probably attractive. I mean, I also remember him being, like, the cocky young jumpstart from a USA show. That's where I remember that guy.
What show was he from?
There was a show called Necessary Roughness between 2011 and 12.
Oh my god. Okay, so I ignored that show. I ignored the shit out of that show, but I saw all of the commercials
for it. He was the main athlete within that show.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so back then he was a young buck. 10 years later, now he's playing Jax. So, I mean, it works.
Okay.
I mean, you can evolve as an actor, case in point. Michael B. Jordan, case in point, Chris Evans, case in point, insert any name you want. People evolve. It happens. So it took me a while to realize that was him. And good for you that it took me a minute to remember that was you. Also, there were a lot more people in this movie. I didn't recognize them by name, but after I looked them up, I'm like, oh my god, that was you.
Wait, like who?
So I have five names right off the list. So Chin Han, the guy who played Shang Tsung, he was the guy in The Dark Knight, like the Asian, like kind of like crime lord out of Hong Kong that Batman goes to get over in China.
You've lost me. You've lost me so hard. This is such a reach, man. This is the biggest
one. Okay, fair enough. You haven't seen this movie, but we had a Power Ranger in this movie. Ludi Lin, who played Liu Kang, was Zack from the new Power Rangers.
Yeah, I've not seen this.
Hiroyuki Sanada, who plays Scorpion.
I feel like he wasted his time on this role.
I thought that was a good casting choice for the sake of, like, you need someone who actually has a little bit of depth to him. That was a good choice.
Right. Look, he's a great actor. I 100% agree with you. All of his scenes were very good. I just feel really bad that it was this film because he had to carry this whole film.
Him and Sub-Zero kind of had to carry it. And the fact that 70% of the movie was not them is a little bit of a problem when you have those two characters carrying this movie.
Yeah. Seriously, I didn't realize that people got the first 7 minutes, which is the background story, and I totally get it, that there's just so much hate for it. that is a complete bummer because
it is a complete mislead.
Yeah, 100%. I definitely agree with you that there.
And that's unfortunate. But also, he's played very minor roles in other movies, and it's gone by fine. Like, the two that I have written down right away are two Marvel movies where he was in The Wolverine, where he was one of the main bads there, but he was also in Endgame.
He was?
Where he was the Japanese crime lord that,
Clint
fights in the streets. That was him. So again, a super minor role, but he played it well.
Wow, that is an actually memorable scene.
Exactly.
As much as I don't like Clint, like MCU version of Clint, let's be clear. I love Clint in the comics, but I do not love him in the MCU.
I don't know much of the comics, so I'm completely fine with what they gave Jeremy Renner to work with. I think he's done a fine job.
He is still probably my least favorite of the OG six, though.
But he's also the one who has had the less to work with,
I guess. It's between him and the Hulk have not had standalone films, so.
Pretty much. Same with Black Widow. We haven't seen that yet. Even though we do have a Black Widow coming up. But even if you look at it beforehand, where we saw a cameo of him in Thor. In Avengers, he's pretty much mind-controlled the entire time. So you don't really get any character development within Clint and Hawkeye until Ultron.
Yeah, but then... Okay, wait. We're going off into the MCU tangent.
We are.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there before I start talking about things. Let me end the MCU tangent with... I really want you to read Matt Fraction and David Aja's version of Hawkeye, because that is the best version of Hawkeye. And, just to add bonus, it will give you background for the new Hawkeye series that's coming out on Disney+.
Fantastic. I will gladly look into that one. But to get back to what we're talking about, the last person I have here is Sub-Zero himself, Joe Taslim, who there is this one really well-known international movie called The Raid, where he is freaking phenomenal. We haven't talked about this. This is the first time I brought up The Raid. No. First time I brought up The Raid, but I watched this whole sequence that he's in, and it is possibly the best fight choreography I've ever seen in my life. He's phenomenal. And case in point, the one more mainstream movie that people might know him better as was Fast and the Furious 6, where there's a subway fight scene between him, some random security guards, and then, oh my god, I can't remember their fucking characters' names.
Oh no.
But it was Han, the Asian dude in the Fast and Furious franchise, and Tyrese Gibson? Is that his name?
I've never seen this franchise. I've only seen Tokyo Drift, and I barely remember Tokyo
basically,
Drift.
Basically, Paul Walker's number two in Too Fast, Too Furious. I can't remember their names. I'm gonna
fact checker!
That's gonna be real quick. I'm just gonna pop that up real quick.
You gonna use that Google? You wanna use that Google on this?
I'm not even going to count this as a Google, just for the sake of, I'm just looking up
you
a name.
Are counting
Does this count as a Google?
Google? Yes, it counts as
Motherfucker,
a Google.
Motherfucker, fine, then I'm not going to do it. Even though I have it right here. God damn it. It was Tyrese Gibson, and his name is Roman. Not as a count. I found
that
it real quick.
That is a Google. That is a Google. I'm counting
fine,
that as a Google.
Fine. No more Googles
no
today.
No more Googles.
Whatever. I should have had these things up before, but fine. But it makes me laugh knowing a little bit of the background behind this movie, where even in the makings of this movie, they were saying Joe Taslim was so fast, they need to ask him to slow down because they couldn't capture it on camera fast enough.
What year was that film?
This movie, in Mortal Kombat.
Oh, this movie? Really?
They needed him to slow down. And I'm watching this with that.
What kind of cameras were they using?
I don't know, but I'm watching this with that in mind. And I'm like, the only person who was keeping up with him was Hiroyuki Sanada, the guy who plays Scorpion.
Okay, I guess they're fucking badasses.
Look at it this way. The fight with Jax, how kind of robotic slash just standalone was that, where it was just kind of linear? It was just right in front of you. There was not much around it. There wasn't too much flipping or turning or reversals or counters. It was pretty straightforward. And it could have been done that way for the sake of, we want to show how badass Sub-Zero is compared to any other character, and that was done really well. But also from a stunt choreography standpoint, the fact that they needed to slow things down so much between Joe Taslim and the guy who played Jax, unfortunately I do not have that name readily available to myself.
I thought you had that up already.
I closed out the window, so no, I can't Google it anymore. Meh.
You already had it up. You can always Control Shift T.
No, but I looked up Fast and the Furious, so I can't really.
Well. All right, no more.
Yeah, I can't do it. But yeah, there was a few moments in this movie where I noticed that he was kind of slowing down for the sake of everyone else.
Interesting. Where did you see that?
Again, in his fight versus Jax, in a little bit against his fight with Cole, even though Louis Tan is known for his stunt choreography as well and his stunt work, it just looked like there was a part of me that felt like he was holding back a little bit. Even though, you know, he did it rather seamlessly. It looked good. He made the other guy look good, but I'm like, you could probably take it up another notch or two.
I think that is your eye for this kind of thing and your experience, because I don't have that knowledge, so everything just seemed smooth for me.
Yeah, that's completely fair. Maybe that's my bias. Who knows?
No, I mean, that's a good bias and, like, good thing that you can see.
Mm-hmm. That's my problem, too, where I'm like, part of me doesn't like looking too hard into certain things because, like, I just want to enjoy them. Try to look at it from, like, the lowest common denominator and just be like, am I being entertained? For sure. That's why in this movie, like, I was thoroughly entertained with certain things. Was it perfect? Absolutely not. Were there aspects of this movie that I was craving for in 95 that I got in this one? Yes. And that's why I look at this one better. I honestly think that 2021 Mortal Kombat is better than 95 Mortal Kombat just when you compare things like point to point.
I'm gonna agree with you because I really tried to rewatch Mortal Kombat 1995. And it was truly painful to watch. I felt like I was definitely more entertained with 2021. And I feel like this can probably start going into points, I guess. But 2021 was definitely more of an entertaining film. The plot was very weak for me. Because, like, it was nearly non-existent. And it's just significantly worse for 1995. Like, it wasn't even campy in a fun way. Not like Batman and Robin was. It was just cringy. And it was like the kind of cringy that I would not want to return to. And it's like,
fair
sucks.
Enough. Like, I would go back to it, but that's also, it could be nostalgia points for me that I would. But if that's the case, was there at least one redeeming good quality to that movie?
I definitely have one. But okay. I also feel like it's a stretch.
Sure, go for it. Let's get right into it.
Okay.
I've ran my mouth off about at least 2021. Do you want to toss anything else out there?
For 2021?
For anything. For either one. Because I feel bad. I feel like I ranted for a good 10 minutes.
I don't have any, like, solid thoughts about this film. I definitely agree that 2021 is just a little bit more entertaining. I feel like I was a little bit more forgiving of, like, all the CGI, like, everything for this film. And I gave it as much attention as I can, because it's hard when you're, like, not truly interested in these films. And, like, for me, personally, I hate watching ultra-violent films.
Oh,
like,
I love that.
I knew going into this that Mortal Kombat is probably, like, not a game that I would actually, like, seek out playing at, like, fighting games, like... out of all of them, I'm probably more of like a Tekken person more than
you're saying
else.
That to a guy who are like, I will just YouTube Mortal Kombat this generation fatalities and just watch the montage.
Oh my god, I can't.
I did that the
that.
Other night, because in my mind, I'm like, the creativity level from a writing aspect is phenomenal for you to think about having to do these things. But if you're not down for the blood and gore, then sure, probably not your forte.
Yeah, no, it's not that I was dreading watching this. I was just like in the middle of watching the first 7 minutes. I was like, oh shit, I forgot how ridiculously bloody this is. And I mean, I still enjoyed it. I may have looked away when I saw like what, like the head smash. I love that. I simultaneously loved it, but I just hated seeing all
fair,
that blood.
Fair.
And it's one of those things that I'm like always like in a balance with.
How did you feel with the buzzsaw hat?
Oh, I fucking love that too. I thought that was creative.
Creativity-wise, it is phenomenal what they do with it.
Yeah.
At the same time, I understand why people would want to turn away. And on the other hand, I'm watching these montages and I'm like, overkill. They were done 3 strikes ago, but you're still going somehow. But all right, cool, whatever. This is still cool cinematically. This is still fun. Have at her. But that's besides the point. So any thoughts going into 95 before you just jump right into the good points?
Oh, dude, that was truly a struggle to watch. I think that I needed to watch that with somebody because I really had to parse that over, like, 3 days.
Wow, okay.
I can't tell if it's because I already was, like, low capacity for shit during the week, this week.
Okay.
But, like, this was probably one of the, like, most painful films that we had to watch for this podcast.
But, again, it's nice to see that, like, nostalgia blinders is a big factor in this. That was always my concern. Because to me, like, I was still very entertained. Of course, my bad points are logistical things slash a couple other things more plot related, but overall I'm like, I'm still having a good time with this one. I'm actually finding some parts where I'm like, I thought it was a little bit too campy, where I'm like, you know what, this is actually just still, this is straight up fun. But what we talked about during the teaser, to me, nostalgia, this is fun. To other people who have seen this new Mortal Kombat, they're like, the 95 is still better for XYZ, and for all intents and purposes,
better?
Exactly.
People are really saying that?
Some people are. And to them,
we need to find those people.
Yeah, to them, they're like, that is nostalgia blinders straight up. You coming from a non-biased standpoint, we can somewhat see, at least from someone's perspective, that the 2021 is better than the 95, because the 95, it might just be for the sake of nostalgia that we like this. Not just the fact that it's actually good.
But this is such a thin line to me, only because 2021 was still not that great of a movie.
Again, for what it was meant to be, for what I was going into it to expect, it was a good movie. I'm not expecting the best plot. I'm not expecting, like, an Oscar-nominated movie. I just want some fun fights, some blood and gore, finally. And you gave it to me. So thank you. I'm happy.
I guess? Joby, I still think that makes one of us, because for me, if I'm going into a film like this, I at least expect, like, a very good slash closed plot. Like, it just didn't fulfill that. And I know coming into this, like, what I was expecting the most is that I wanted to see good fight scenes, and I'm glad that I saw good fight scenes. But the rest of the film truly, like, fails. Like, they fail their characters, they fail the story, and then now they're doing a sequel. Like, the way that it ended, they're doing a sequel.
I think the part that they failed the most was character development.
Yeah.
I think that is the part that they failed on the most, because everyone was insanely one-dimensional. When you have, like, the person who has the most character depth is Kano, and he's still just a caricature, that's not great.
I am surprised that I learned so much about Kano, and I really fucking hated that character.
Yeah. So, I mean, just brace yourself for Mortal Kombat 2, when that character is pretty much just going to be Johnny Cage. It's going to be the same kind of concept.
All right, I can't wait to start talking about our good points and bad points.
So let's get into it. 95, let's start from the beginning. And for anyone who is not familiar with our paradigms, we are running this one just like we ran Fantastic Four. So if you want to give that one a listen real quick, by all means, go ahead. But TLDR, we are going to be giving one good and one bad for both movies. So a good and a bad for 95, and a good and a bad for 2021. And then at the end, we're just going to compare and contrast them a little bit more and give them both a rating.
Oh my god. I can't wait to get to that rating!
So with that in mind, Kim, please start us off. 95,
oh my Lord.
Good point. What is your stretch of a good point that you had?
All right. This is the biggest stretch, and I truly mean it. I really loved seeing what the sets of, like, how they made
thank you.
All of the... Yeah.
No, that was one of my good points, where I'm like, the set design was phenomenal.
I was surprised that I, like, forgave them on the CGI, because, you know, 95. But truly, I love their set design, because it's so intricate. Hold on, I have to get, like, which specific one that I really
Yeah, go ahead. But my whole thing was, I feel like they spent so much money on the set design that they failed in every other department, and that's why they were short on money. I don't know what the budget it was for this movie, but the sets were phenomenal across the board.
Oh my Lord.
So I'm like, there goes the CGI budget, there goes the actor budget, whatever it was, but the set design, and even when you had these, like, small still frames of, like, Sub-Zero versus Liu Kang, Scorpion versus Johnny Cage, and you had that one, like, showdown of the two characters, and you had that still frame of, like, if you hit the pause button on the video game, that's what
it
you would have seen.
Like, yeah,
that was great.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so I specifically wrote down that I really love Scorpion's fight. And I believe that's with Johnny Cage.
Yes.
I know people are probably like, it looks like garbage all over the place. And I'm like, but it looks cool.
It goes through the forest and then they teleport to like a hell nether realm type atmosphere.
It's like metal.
No, it's like red with like wooden, like
is it wood? It looked like metal to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's like wood metal and bamboo structures. And like possibly metal structures as well. I wasn't paying attention to the structures, but at the same time, it looked great.
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
Like, it looked like one of the stages in Mortal Kombat where, like, if you threw a really hard uppercut, they would fly off the edge of the stage and they'll get really and hurt on the way the next... down. Exactly, yeah. So that's how I saw that scene. And it kind of played out that way where he's like, gets knocked down, goes into the pit of bones, and then the rest of the fight continues. Like, it was the same concept, you know? But yeah, that was possibly the best fight of the whole movie.
Yes. It's very memorable, and I'm not going to complain about it in any way, shape, or form. But yeah, that's my one kind of a stretch good point for 95.
Oh no, that's not even kind of a good stretch. Like, if you were to take that and, like, have, like, a cosplay photo shoot in one of these places.
Oh my god.
That would be the perfect spot for any kind of photo shoot. Even not just cosplay, just, like, any photo shoot. It would be perfect.
It's reminiscent to me of at like San Diego Comic-Con when they had like the Iron Throne from Game of Thrones, and then you could take pictures with it and then that's it.
Yeah. So that's not a stretch of a good thing. That is just a damn good thing. They did a great thing with the set design for some of these fights. A lot of these fights and a lot of these locations. They did a really good job with the set design. Even them walking through Outworld where they're going through like the wasteland to the building and then they get in the building and it's just like courtyard to staircases. I'm like, this is still a really cool stage.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about it, but since you named it, I really find it funny that I think that they really spent a lot of their time and money on sets. And I don't know if people appreciate it outside of like people nitpicking, but really that takes a lot of like time and effort and like a really good eye. And I just really love that they did use that time on it.
Yeah, that was fun. I didn't realize that till like I watched it again and I'm just like, I'm trying to nitpick a little bit. I'm like, dude, these things look so cool.
Yeah.
I'd love to do even like a fight choreography thing to myself in these locations. Like that looks like fun. So yeah, great point. I agree.
Okay, great.
I even mentioned that. So like the Scorpion Johnny Cage fight, Outworld looks great. Even like the basic one of like Sub-Zero versus Liu Kang. That was a good spot too. Even the showdown of like when they made like a boxing ring in the middle of what used to be their dining hall. Like, yeah. I could totally see them do that because when I had my kickboxing matches and stuff like that, both times have been a boxing ring in the middle of a club.
I mean, so it's kind of true to life if you've already done it. So, yeah, that just adds on to, like, the coolness factor of it.
Yeah. So all of it makes sense. All of it makes sense. So besides the theme song being complete fire, and I will say that to the end of times, I'm not going to make that my good point. That is just an honorable mention of just, like, the theme song is just so goddamn good.
Like, the original?
Even the remix, when they did it in 2021, I thought the remix was fine.
The remix was okay, yeah.
Both are great. Like,
it got stuck in my head, I will have to say.
I mean, granted, that can't always be, like, the benchmark if something's earwormy. That's good, because you can have something like Mortal Kombat that can get stuck in your head pretty quick, but then you can also have something like Baby Shark, and What Does the Fox Say? And fuck those songs. So,
can I also make a nostalgia reference for like a hot second? Sure. Do you remember that Smosh's first like big video was them lip syncing to Mortal Kombat?
I don't know because I got into Smosh late, very
Ooh,
late.
Okay.
Like, and by right, very well, late, I mean like in the past couple years when they did like a promotional video for Jurassic Park, the Jurassic World, like the Lost Kingdom with Chris Pratt. That was when I got into it late.
Oh my god! All right. See, for me. Backstory for me, I feel like I was late in coming into YouTube because I didn't grow up with a computer.
Super late.
All right. Well, for everyone else in the audience listening, yes, if it's still available, because I think their Pokemon version of them lip syncing got taken down because of copyright. But yeah, one of their early hits and like one of the first big viral hits on YouTube was Anthony Padilla and Ian Hecox just literally lip-syncing in Anthony's bedroom to the Mortal Kombat theme, and it's just so... I love it. I know people will probably think it's cringy in 2021, but it's just... that was the kind of content I grew up with when I first really got a computer. And it's adjacent to what we do with TikTok now. People are doing dances in their fucking bedrooms.
Let's be honest. That was also the kind of content in, like, what YouTube was before we realized what YouTube was.
Yeah. And it's very interesting to, yeah, like, see, like,
the evolution of what YouTube is.
Yeah. And I just love that, you know, that just solidifies that Mortal Kombat's theme is, yeah, a fucking bop.
It will stand to the end of time. Anytime you look up, like, Spotify and stuff like that, and I know this for a fact, because every week for my women's kickboxing class that I host, most of the time we do jock jams. And, like, three versions of the Mortal Kombat theme song will play during that time.
Three versions? What do you mean? There's three versions of this theme?
Look, there's multiple versions of every song where, like, we will repeat, like, versions of, like, what is love and or, like, other things.
Interesting.
You know? Like, certain songs will replay over and over because it's, like, here's the long version, here's the short version, here's the club remix. Kind of like something like Billie Jean. There's multiple versions of that song. There's multiple versions of, like, the Macarena. Or some crap like that.
I can't see you fighting to the Macarena.
Although that does come up on jock jams. So that's...
Really?
Yeah, I skip it every time.
That's fucking hilarious.
I skip it every time because I do not need that in my head. Again, another song that is earwormy, but garbage.
Oh my God.
So, besides the theme song, and this could be because I was comparing it a little bit to Annihilation, I honestly thought that some of the dialogue and banter between the characters was actually kind of fun.
Interesting.
Like, honestly, the characters were a little bit more fun, at least from, like, a personality standpoint in 95 than they were in 2021.
I feel like I learned way more things about each character in 95, and, like, in 2021's version, I wanted to learn a lot about Cole's family, but where it fails is that I didn't realize that was his family until, like, they kissed.
I mean, no, I knew that was a family from, like, when they were getting, like, ice cream after his fight.
No, that's what I'm saying. No, like, I was like, oh, I don't know who this is.
Oh,
but
okay.
Yeah, they
okay.
kissed. And then right. I was like, oh, right, that's his wife,
that's,
I guess.
That's fair.
Yeah. But if it takes, like, more than 15 minutes for, like, a normie like me to understand who the fuck these characters are, that's already a bad sign.
That's fair.
Yeah, so I'm surprised that in 95 that you, like, I don't know. For some reason, I feel like it's surprising.
Let's put it this way. Again, there's more character depth with 95 than there was 2021. You have someone like Liu Kang, where it's like, what is his main drive? To avenge the death of his brother. But you also get layers between his interactions with Johnny Cage. You get his interactions with Raiden. His interactions with Katana. You see different layers of him depending on who he's with. And then ultimately, it still ends with him trying to avenge his brother's death. But at the same time, like, there was enough, like, interaction between multiple characters that, like, you can kind of get a little bit more of the personality behind them. The same thing with Johnny Cage. Him with Liu Kang. Him with Sonya. Him just personally trying to grapple with the fact that, like, I am not just a Hollywood name. I am a legitimate person. I'm a legitimate fighter. And you get that to come out a little bit. But at the same time, he's still interacting and vibing with people in different scenarios. They go to Outworld, and now he's back to his kind of like sheep. Is like, this is a bad idea, Lou. This is a horrible idea. We shouldn't be doing this. What the fuck? But he still kind of has that, like, little bit of courage behind him. Where I'm like, I'm still gonna stand up and fight for the girl who's pretty hot, and maybe this could be a thing. Who knows? You know, like, there's layers to it. With 2021, there wasn't too much layers behind everything. Everyone was very one note.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to go into this with my bad points, but I just feel like it's such a I mean, I shouldn't have said that, like, I was expecting, like, a lot from this movie because it's just a video game adaptation, and that feels very demeaning for this, like, series.
When they're trying, like, to say that it's not just a video game adaptation, they want, right, to make it a real thing, so, yeah.
Right. Like, that just circles back to my point where it's like, the plot is weak for 2021, and then that's why a movie fails. I think they tried to lean into, like, too many things on one end, but then they didn't try to really, like, make it a full, like, circle kind of, like, story. Like, it's not, it leans into too many video game things. And it wasn't even, like, good in a campy way. And I'm going into my bad points for 2021. I need to shut the fuck up.
I mean, we can run this however the hell we want, but that's enough for my good point, where those characters were a lot more fun. They weren't as cringy in terms of, like, this is super campy and or this is bad acting because it's the 90s, so on and so forth. Like, obviously, Shang Tsung, he's so much fun in that kind of role. Like, that Shang Tsung compared to 2021 Shang Tsung, I'm like, y'all missed the mark. 95 was so much better. No offense to that. He was a good actor. He was fun in other movies that I've seen him in. Case in point, like Dark Knight, he played a super minor role, technically, in Captain America, Winter Soldier.
He did?
He was one of, like, the global whatever, like, those people who are always on screen when they're talking about logistics of, like, who has jurisdiction here and there of certain things. He's one of those guys. Granted, they get murdered in that one super fast. Spoilers for, you know, Captain America Winter Soldier. But he was there. So again, when you compare certain things between 95 and 21, if you look like Liu Kang to Liu Kang, Johnny Cage to Johnny Cage, even though there's no Johnny Cage, spoiler, sorry. But
I was like, Johnny Cage? Johnny Cage did Kano.
No, there's two Johnny Kanos. Kano. So there's Kano in 95. Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
So you don't need to do that.
Oh, you're right.
But like Sonya Blade to Sonya Blade. Actually, that one was a little bit more even. I enjoyed both. Raiden to Raiden. Like, I think, honestly, Raiden in 95, because he had more camera time and could do and was able to do a little bit more, like, he was more fun. Instead of just, I'm going to teleport you when I feel like it.
I can't believe all he did was teleport.
Yeah. Teleport and or put up force fields.
That's disappointing.
But he's probably, they're probably going to use more of it in the sequel. Hopefully they get a sequel, because they definitely should, and hopefully they can improve on what they missed on this one.
We'll see. I'm kind of teetering between that they're not going to get a sequel because of how critically panned this is. Even fans, isn't it like low rated amongst fans?
It's hit and miss from what I've seen. I've seen a lot of people like it. I've seen a lot of people dislike it. So we'll see, you know, in this next week, because we're doing this within the opening weekend. So we don't really know right now. We'll find out. But before we get into 2021, let's finish off 95. What is your bad point?
What isn't my bad point for 95? I've already said this in, like, the opening, so I'm just going to say it again. It is the bad kind of campy. It is the cringe kind of campy. This is just encompassing all of the fact that, like, I really despised almost every character in some way. But more specifically, Johnny Cage.
Now I kind of want to make you watch Annihilation and be like, which one do you think was more cringy?
Oh my god. I was debating whether or not I wanted to watch Annihilation.
Well, it's fine. And again, I think that might be your bias, where I thought that Johnny Cage is probably the most fun character out of the first one. Where, as like a kid, and even later on, I'm like, you know, Lou, you kind of stole his thunder where he should have fought Shang Tsung at the end. I mean, though, like, redemption arc-wise, like, you definitely want to avenge your brother, but at the same time, like, Johnny Cage proved himself a little bit more than you did. Like, you fought a nameless dread dude and Sub-Zero. He fought Scorpion and Goro. He deserves that fight. Oh, no, actually, and also Lou also fights Reptile. Same time, I'm like, you had three fights, he had two. You should get a third one. I don't know. I just really like Johnny Cage. That's all it was.
This is just a complete list of, like, a lot of characters, because that's literally what I wrote. I did not like Johnny Cage. I feel like he's like every bad stereotype. I wanted to specifically name that I both loved and hated seeing him trip on this, like, long staircase with his luggage. One very, like, funny and awful moment for this guy. This is, like, an honorable mention, but also very interesting that they went with Sonya Blade looking like Terminator with the angles and lighting, I think, with her introduction. Because it's, like, a low Dutch angle, and, like, it's misty, and she has a gun, and I don't know why. It just had, like, and I think she was backlit, so it was very Terminator to me.
I mean, her opening sequence, I had huge problems with, logistically, because I'm like, why are you gonna do a nightclub raid? You are Special Forces, and yet, why would you think that in raiding a nightclub, and not stopping the nightclub, and just letting everyone dance around you, like, a good fucking idea. The noise level. The obvious, like, people are getting through the crowd. The ease of people getting away in said nightclub. I'm like, this is dumb. Why is this a sequence?
I mean, that leans into, like, the cringy, like, campy. And then I think what topped it for me as, like, the worst of the worst for, like, cringy campy is just Shang Tsung. Like, he's just kind of gross with his, like, with his kind of weird obsession with Sonya Blade. Like, I just did not love that. Like, seeing their
dynamic. That was a little creepy at the end, where he's, like, holding her hostage and dragging her into the other realm, and now she's in a different outfit. What happened in between / things? Like, let's not try to, you know, connect some dots there. But oddly enough, that did not land in terms of, like, problematic. I don't know why. Yeah.
It just didn't seem right. Maybe it's not, like, your viewing. I also kind of feel like it might be nostalgia blinders, and it's something that you just don't see.
It might be. Very much might be. And now that I say it out loud, like, I've never framed it in that mindset of, like, hey, she went from A to B. There's definitely some stuff between the two.
Yeah. That's all I literally saw with them. And every time he spoke about her, it just came from, like, a very, like, strange and uncomfortable place for me.
I think he talked about every character in, like, the kind of the same tone.
Yeah, maybe.
So, again, that didn't land odd for me at all. Like I said, like, I still loved him as Shang Tsung. I much prefer him as Shang Tsung than Chin Han in 2021. Might be my bias. Could be that I was just expecting more of, like, a sinister character in 2021. Could be both. I don't know.
I will have to say it's a little bit of, like, weak because he's such a good actor. But, like, it's once again that problem of, like, we have a lot of characters, but they're not really introduced well enough to give them enough backstory for meaning. I think I talked about this in Justice League when we were comparing it to Endgame. And I remember talking about how every character in Endgame, every time, like, somebody else shows up, it moves the plot along, and that's why Endgame worked, like, way better than, like, Justice League, the first version. Justice League, yes.
I've never heard it in that way, but...
Really?
Justice League? No.
I swear to God, I thought you were one of the first people that actually said that.
No.
Oh my God, alright, well, some knowledge facts for you.
I just call it Snyder Cut and Whedon version. Those are the two I refer them as. I've never heard Justice League. That, honestly, I kind of hate that play on words.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for introducing it,
but
it's
But continue with Whedon version.
right. Okay. But that's really just the comparison that I'm trying to make, is that the reason why I can sit through, like, the 3 hours that is Endgame is because every character moves the story along. And in Mortal Kombat, it's not really happening because we're introduced to all these characters.
In 95 or in 2021?
2021.
Or both. Okay. Agreed.
I'm, like, disregarding 95 because I feel like I'm forgiving it more because it's a 90s movie.
I think 95, everyone served a purpose for when they were there. Or tried to, at least.
Maybe?
Again, sort of. Where in the 95 version, Sub-Zero and Scorpion were just mindless grunts. They were just the muscle. They didn't really serve any other purpose besides, these guys are threats. We should watch out for them. Same thing with Goro. They looked at it very much in the respect of, like, here's a big tournament. Here are the big bads we gotta finish off. And once those guys are done, great. There is no one else to worry about besides Shang Tsung. In 2021, there was a few characters, a lot of characters who were just like, you didn't serve too much of a purpose besides giving us another character for someone else to fight. Like, if we took away Ranko, the guy with the hammer, he didn't serve any other purpose besides we needed
a guy,
a big bruiser type, to take on the good guy's big bruiser type. Which, at the same time, you could have just had him fight Goro. Whatever.
Yeah.
But I agree. It was a little disjointed in 2021 for certain characters to be there.
It's disappointing for me. But then, again, I guess that just goes into my bad point for 2021. And I don't know where we are anymore in the podcast.
We're still talking about the bad point for 95.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
But you said super campy.
It's the cringe kind of campy. Because if we're comparing it to, I guess, my favorite of what we've watched of campiness, Batman, and that is Batman Robin.
That might be your nostalgia blinders over my nostalgia blinders. I think that is where we're drawing the line, because I would rather watch 95 Mortal Kombat than Batman and Robin.
Joby, if you remember, I don't remember the Batman and Robin film. I have definitely watched it as a kid, but to be fair, but here's the thing.
Well, to be fair, sorry. Okay. I gotta stop doing that.
Okay, but to be fair, remember.
I'm done.
that's bullshit. You're gonna say it again at some point in the podcast.
I'm gonna try not to.
Okay, you did not like Thor Ragnarok. I love Thor Ragnarok, and that's our like comparison.
There for sure is a differentiating taste as to what we prefer in terms of movies.
Yeah.
Case in point, even this one, like 2021, I still find it very fun, and you were like, it was a stretch slash like a little painful to watch still. Right?
Yeah.
I watched it twice, like, within, like, 5 hours. Because, like, I watched it myself, told my dad I watched it, and he was like, oh, man, I wanted to watch that, too. Let's watch it again. Okay. Click.
But I feel like that's also the bias of, like, you like watching movies with your dad, so it's like...
Not just that, but, like, I enjoyed it, and I wanted to make sure that my good and bad points were legitimate.
Mm, okay.
And not just, like, a quick thought. And I'm like, does this still hold up the second time around now that I know this is here?
Okay.
Yes?
Interesting.
Good. We're good to go.
Interesting.
But to just finish off 95 real quick, I guess just going off of the characters, right? Because in 95 Mortal Kombat, all the characters were rather fun for me. Despite now that I realize how creepy the Shang Tsung thing was, he was still fun in most of the movie. Johnny Cage was a fun character for me. Kano was a fun character for me. I was more impressed with the fact that Goro was live action and not CGI.
Yeah,
and I was very intrigued by them being able to do that, which, oh my God, I wish I pulled this up before. I have it bookmarked too, but the way they did Goro was there was a guy in a suit, but then there was also like a puppet master who controlled the other two arms.
Oh, that's sick.
So they had to coordinate with one guy doing one thing, but then the other guy had to kind of follow along so it all looked seamless.
Oh, shit.
So like with all of his fight scenes kind of being a little bit just kind of like stagnant, I was okay with because... Technology wise, I'm like, you guys did what you could and this still looked pretty good.
I will have to say it might be my nostalgia because I fucking love puppetry when they use it for these things. Like puppetry for an action film, I just find way more fun because it's practical and yeah, it's a little bit more tough to work with.
It's the Star Wars element of it all because
yeah.
Like even when you look at Mandalorian, they use practical effects a decent amount of times when it came to certain creatures and characters like Baby Yoda, that is a puppet. The banthas on Tatooine, those are puppets.
Yeah, my favorite is that they use like a real actor for what is his name? It's the guy in season one. Unfortunately, he passes.
Quill.
Yes, that is a real person, and then they brought that actor back to be the Frog Lady.
Oh, that's awesome! God damn, I didn't know that. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Quill was one of my favorites, and his catchphrase still stands between so many things. Like, I have spoken.
I have spoken.
That is the nerd version of a mic drop now.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I'm good with that.
Joe has gotten me a shirt. I can't remember what holiday or if my birthday or Valentine's Day. Some kind of holiday. He got me a shirt with that, and I'm like, this is the greatest shirt
Fantastic.
Ever.
Fantastic. For a character that was only in, like, 3 episodes, but he is more beloved than some other characters, I'm like, y'all did a good job.
Okay, but, like, think about it this way, too. When we're talking about these characters from Mortal Kombat, a character that has, like, depth like that for such a short amount of time versus all of these characters in Mortal Kombat 2021. I'm just going to repeat myself over and over again. That is a testament to good writing.
Oh, for sure.
And that is so, so disappointing for 2021.
So I'll chime in on that later on when we actually get to 2021, but... Where I was actually going with this,
yes,
with the 95. No, you're fine. We tangent all the goddamn time with these things, so it's completely fine.
I'm not gonna lie, we're just really antsy about 2021. We just want to get there.
I want to get there, yeah. But the character that seemed the weakest, besides just like a mindless grunt in Mortal Kombat 95, Katana.
Just
super boring. Like, they give her a backstory. We try to sympathize with like, oh, like I'm an orphan because they killed my parents and now I'm dealing with this and blah blah blah. I'm like, it just didn't resonate. Also for the fact that like you made her this like mysterious character where there's this always this like weird like flute that played anytime she showed up on camera, and then the one time we see her, she's talking in riddles. Who are you? Why is this a thing? Like, besides the fact that you're hot, why is this a thing? It bothered me a little bit. Out of all the characters, she felt the weakest.
Interesting. I'm going to agree with you there. We just didn't get enough. I feel like I kind of just knew things about her from, like, playing the games when I can. But, like, even then, it's, like, based in, like, minute knowledge.
Yeah, that's fair. But that's my thing with 95. I got nothing else to say to it. So let's just get into 2021. We're good. Right. We're done. We have moved on. Let's get to 2021 because I feel like both have... No. It's completely fine. I definitely have a lot more feelings towards 2021 than I do the 95. Because we pretty much covered all of what I wanted to say with 95, except for a few neutral points that doesn't really matter.
Are you sure? We can still talk about it. We still have time.
Let's see. One neutral point that I really just want to mention, or like two of them, that like this is the Mortal Kombat equivalent to something from another thing.
Interesting.
I felt like they paid homage to two things. So they had Sub-Zero versus a henchman.
Okay.
Where like he just ices a dude as he's doing a flying kick and he shatters. That was like the Mortal Kombat equivalent to the sword guy in Indiana Jones, who's doing all this like weird, flippy, tricky things, and then Indiana Jones just shoots him real quick. That was the same equivalent.
Yeah.
They did the same thing with Liu Kang versus Reptile, where he does like that curb stomp.
Yep.
And I'm like, they just wanted to pay homage to Bruce Lee. Because in every fighting game franchise, there is at least one character that sounds and fights like Bruce Lee. In Mortal Kombat, that's Liu Kang. So for him to do that stomp, I'm like, well fucking played. And I think that's one thing that bugs me about 95 as well, was besides character names and a couple of things, they don't really play hard into the video game of it all. Just the vibe of what the video games are and were. You didn't get too much of that in 95, even though that was like Mortal Kombat like 2 at that point. There wasn't really much else to play off of. They gave us no fatalities. They gave us very minimal of a couple of things. And I'm like,
they've kind of, the only elements that I can tell you that they used from somebody with base knowledge of Mortal Kombat is literally the catchphrases. And it was sparse. And it wasn't enough to really tie it back to like really say, oh, this is Mortal Kombat. Like if they removed the title of Mortal Kombat to that film, it would just be like another, like a really bad fight.
Any other forgettable franchise. Yeah. So besides Nick Cage being in these movies, which would make it better, what are your thoughts on 2021?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Nick Cage should not be in this film.
Look, Nick Cage fits in all movies in some way, shape, or form, where I'm like, you need a ridiculous actor?
Absolutely not.
Get Nick Cage. You need someone kind of serious? Nick Cage could still do it.
Joby, I want to change our season 2 to be the Nick Cage season.
We will discuss when we're actually towards the end of this freaking season. But let's just get through this goddamn movie. 2021.
Right. Oh, I want to avoid this so badly. What? I want
to
avoid.
Right. Let's get to
the good.
Yes. Let's start with the good.
You cannot deny that the best part about this film were all of the fight sequences.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
That is a given. And that is my one stretch.
Okay.
Stretch of a good.
Please.
Here's the explanation.
Keep going, please.
We went into this film. It's called Mortal Kombat. All of the fights are so good.
Yes.
And like I said earlier, I'm usually not the biggest fan of like super gory things. But they were just so freaking creative that I forgive them for it. And I know, like, it's the whole shtick with this franchise that it's, like, it's ultra-violent. And it was satisfying every time. I think because they started with the film being, like, oh, we're going to just, like, you know, nick everyone with this, like, one shuriken, like, and see all the blood. I'm like, all right, I'm ready. This is the thing.
It still upsets me that opening sequence was possibly the best part of the whole movie. Like, they played it up like an old school samurai, like Asian action martial arts flick.
Yes.
They played it beautifully. They framed it beautifully. And that vibe didn't carry because that's not supposed to be the vibe of this movie. That's not supposed to be the vibe of this franchise. It's not just those two. So I get that. And it gave us the setup for the big climax of the movie in the big final fight. So I'm like, cool. At the same time, I'm like, I could watch an entire movie of just these two and everything back behind them. I would be happier with that than what you guys gave me.
Yes, 100%. I think part of like my disappointment too is that for some reason I was like, why are we opening with these two characters? And then I thought he would like live. They kind of gave us that kernel at the end, and I'm like,
he kind of lives. But that's the thing with Mortal Kombat. That's the thing with Mortal Kombat. We're like, they're all kind of zombies slash they're all not really dead. Like, guaranteed, Sub-Zero's still around in the next one. Molina's still around for the next one. Goro's still around for the next one. Let's be honest. If not Kentaro, whatever.
The fact that, like, Shang Tsung came in and he just, like, used his mystical magic and then just, like, took away Sub-Zero and then we don't see... Again, no body, no crime. Nobody, no crime.
Is that like on a poster somewhere? It's like, it's just a phrase we have, okay?
Nobody, no crime.
I'm not clapping because of mic sounds, but well done, my friend. Well done. That is literally like my favorite episode of Psych ever.
Oh, same.
It's
same,
my favorite episode. Because I also love Abigail Lightar.
Judd Nelson?
No, Abigail Lightar. I love Rachel Lee Cook. And I loved her character. I'm like, I understand that you guys should not end together, but the fact that you play it well, that, like, I'm okay with you two being together, well freaking done. Well done. I don't know how to even segue back to this movie. I don't fucking know.
Fight sequences. Fight sequences.
Holy shit. I completely agree. The fight sequences were awesome across the board. Yeah. And, you know, to piggyback off of that, the fact they finally gave us fatalities, multiple fatalities.
Yes.
Holy god damn shit, they were so much fun.
I was deeply worried for Cole because Goro literally was like, I'm gonna tear your spine out. I was like, yes, let's fucking go.
So I knew it wasn't gonna happen when I'm like, why did you...
He's the main character.
No, not just that, but I'm like, why did you say it instead of just doing it?
Okay, that's a big fail. That's a big failure.
Yeah. No one else announced their final move. No one even said an attack like an anime. Where it's like, there's no Hadouken. There's no Kamehameha. There's none of that. There was no announcement of their fucking attack. Until Goro, I'm gonna rip your spine out. Like, why? Just do it. Oh no, because it's Cole and there's the main character and now you're gonna get stabbed in the abdomen with a fucking axe. Okay, whatever.
Again, Joby, it's one of those things. Show, don't tell.
I thought you were gonna say plot armor, but either way, yes, both.
I mean, plot armor, I mean, that is very true, plot armor indeed. But it's Cole, he can't die. Like, they will not let this guy die. Mm-hmm.
No, for sure. Which is a little unfortunate when, in my mind, I think he was kind of the weakest character out of everyone.
I am gonna agree that it's definitely disappointing because I was like, he has so much potential to be the cool Asian lead.
Yeah.
And I'm disappointed they brought back Scorpion only because I was like, oh, I thought what they were going to do was that Cole is going to be Scorpion because they kept bringing up his lineage.
As did
and
I.
And then he just gets armor.
As
gets
did I.
Armor.
I thought that he was going to embody because he's having these visions. All these things are happening. Like, you are technically part of that ancestral line. So I knew that there was going to be a big fight between Sub-Zero and Scorpion. I didn't think it was going to be in the way that they did it of like, oh no, he's still like a demon walking the nether realm.
He climbed through hell.
Yeah, that...
that was kind of dope though.
A, it's dope, but at the same time, like, I think it would have been stronger to have him embody Scorpion.
Yes.
So now you have Scorpion versus Goro and Scorpion versus Sub-Zero. You would have had the double of and Molina and like Scorpion versus all the people. Fuck it. Yeah. Who cares? That'd be dope because Scorpion is one of the coolest characters of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Along with Sub-Zero, and you get Sub-Zero a shit ton in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
To get possibly two of the most beloved characters of this franchise and get a shit ton of them both, that would have been a stronger move.
Yeah. I feel like I agree. But if they really introduced, like, Cole's character to, like, be the, like, lineage of Scorpion, the true way to have, like, made that the circle that I want to be a whole story is if he really got the powers of Scorpion and, like, his ancestor is just like, I pass my power to you. This is your arcana or whatever it was, the power.
Yeah, again, it would have been a better arc instead of being like, oh, he becomes this odd, like, somewhat invulnerable thing of, like, you can absorb a lot of damage and hit you back with it.
He has the same, like, suit as basically Black Panther.
Yes.
Where he can, like, get all of the stuff and then if he does, like, an uppercut, he can bring out all that power in one thing. And, like, that's the first thing
I thought of. Saw Black Panther in him. I saw Yang from Ruby in him, where it's just like, oh, you take the power and double it back. Cool. But at that point, did you really need to link him to Scorpion at all? Not really.
Yes, yes. That's the problem.
So if you're going to link him at all, why don't you just have him be like a weird Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing, where you're a decent fighter, but then when you get into this rage mode, you transform into Scorpion and your ancestor takes over your body. And now in the second movie, you have to deal with this weird, like,
that's very Hulk
battle within yourself. Yes.
It's very Hulk. Yeah.
But that's the thing. That could be a very good angle to work with. They just didn't take that.
No.
So that's unfortunate. And I feel like that's a missed opportunity from what they gave us. But my good point, I guess, would be that in light of all those things, this movie is very fan service-y, but to me in a good way. Ignoring the fact that, like, you know, you also don't have, like, Johnny Cage, who people love from the very beginning, even though he's not in there, like, A, including the fatalities, because everyone loves watching those things. That shit's dope. To have Scorpion Sub-Zero being a big, substantial part of this movie, that was really cool. It was like, you know, oddly enough, like, everyone else seems to be, like, a side character to just these two, because we want to see the big battle between Sub-Zero and Scorpion, not just what we saw in the first 7 minutes, but that final fight. I'm like, that was great. We want to see these things. We want to see all of what Sub-Zero can do, and we saw so much of what he can do, and that was cool. But also, them kind of playing off of a little bit of what the old video games used to be. Oddly enough, like, one of my favorite parts of the whole thing was when they showed how broken the leg sweep was.
I love that.
Because for anyone who's ever played the original Mortal Kombat, like 1, 2, and 3, leg sweep was possibly the most broken move you could ever do in Mortal Kombat. And it was literally that time where, like, you catch him once, you can just spam the leg sweep all day until that person dies. And if they manage to even time a single jump to avoid the leg sweep, you can fake it and then hit them with another one.
Oh my lord.
The fact they did that with Liu Kang and Kano, I'm like, that was hilarious, and that was gold.
That was a good moment. That was such a good moment. That was legitimately one of the most funny moments in this film. And I'm like, wow. That is the level of camp, man. That is the level of camp I wanted from this film.
So it was like the perfect thing to put in this movie. Because it's like, if no one knew what that was from the original video games, they would just think it's a funny moment.
Yeah.
It's campy. It's just a funny moment within the thing. For nerds who grew up with this video game are like, oh my god.
It's a deep
cut. You're paying them. That is a deep cut and well fucking done. So, like, fan service was very high in this movie in certain respects. There is a lot of bad that I have for this movie, or like a decent amount of bad that I do.
I'm so excited to hear what you actually have as bad.
You've been going first the entire time, so I'll let you jump in on that first, because it seems like you have a lot of feelings.
I don't know if I have a lot of feelings per se. They're like two that are like definitely the most memorable, and we've already talked about them pretty much at nauseam. Like,
we sprinkled in our bad thoughts throughout this whole thing at this point.
I think for sure we've already said, like, everyone was definitely one note as hell.
Yes.
And it's so disappointing because, again, it's one of those films where we're introducing a lot of characters at once, and, like, none of them really have a great purpose. Like, I'm disappointed that Raiden, I mean, he did have a purpose, but, like, I did learn nothing about him. Like, you created a barrier between you and Shang Tsung, and I'm like, what? That's it?
To me, when there were moments between other characters, there was also other underlying things that, like, kind of threw me off.
Like what?
Actually, just in one particular, but I feel like, oddly enough, Sonya had the best interaction with other people for the sake of, like, she's not part of the quote-unquote chosen ones. So she's kind of serving a role in another respect. Like, she's still going to fight. She's still going to support you guys in that respect because she's a soldier and not going to back down from the fight. But it's like, she had the one-on-one with Jax. She had the one-on-one with Cole. She had one-on-ones with people telling her, like, you are going to be a liability.
You shouldn't be here. The thing is, like, I really wanted to like her because she did have nearly, like, the full complete circle of like a character.
I think she's the closest to have that.
And I'm surprised.
Besides Cole, even though he was kind of bland in my mind.
He's at like 70% there for me. Like, we could have had the full circle if he turned into Scorpion, but we just did that.
Oh my god.
He's just not there.
I'm so mad because now that I said it out, I never had that thought until just now. And I'm like, fuck, that would have been great. not because it was my mind, it was my idea, but yes, it would have improved that movie. But
that would have changed so much of this.
Yeah. But was it just me, or was there an odd sexual tension between Liu Kang and Cole when he was like healing his arm cut from Kung Lao's hat?
I could not tell. And that's really bad for, like, me, because I'm like, I don't see these things. I sometimes see these things.
It felt like there was a weird sexual tension between the two.
Is it because of, like, the fire? Is it, like, warm?
I don't know, but it was, like...
I didn't see it. I feel like I wasn't looking for that. And if you see it...
Neither was
like...
I, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, now kiss. I wasn't looking for any of that, but it felt like that was the right commentary at that point. Like, the mystery
time,
science
like,
theater
is
of it all.
Like, is
I don't know.
I'm actually probably using that term wrong, but that sucks, then.
Also, you realize that, like, oh, hey, Cole has a family back home, so it's not like they're saying that, like, oh, he's curious or some shit like that. It just felt like there was a weird, like...
thing.
Yeah, there was a weird thing between the two where I'm just like, what is...
It was the flame, Joby. It was the flame.
It could be the fire. It could be, like, the thing where he's, like, also, like, having, like, a heart-to-heart while stroking his arm and all this other stuff, even though, like, whatever. I don't know.
I don't know, Joby. Have you... Okay, then my number one bad point is everyone is OneNote, but my honorable mention bad point is that I kind of wish they turned up the campiness for this. Like, it just wasn't...
I think it was there enough.
It was not campy. It was not. It was definitely not there enough.
Tearing out a reptile's heart.
It's not...
Kano
it's
wins.
Just not,
blah, blah, blah.
That's not... For some reason, that didn't
really
land as campy.
I feel like
for
any time they mentioned a line from the video game, that felt like campy. Where they said, like, fatality, flawless victory, blah, blah, blah.
No,
I'm like,
I was fucking annoyed. I fucking hated every time they used it in this film.
But that's campy.
For some reason, that didn't land as campy for me. That landed as annoying.
Interesting.
And I feel like it's teetering toward 95 in the way that it's, like, cringy. Like, the cringy kind of campy in their own way. And I wanted to like it a lot, but it's just, like, you guys are trying too hard. And it's, like, it just didn't feel like good places. I feel like if they saved every single one of, like, the uses, it might have landed better for me. But... Yeah, the first time I heard, what is his name?
Cole.
The one with the hat. No.
Kung Lao.
Kung Lao. Like, say flawless victory. I was just like, you took me out of this movie, sir. You took me so out of this, like, entertainment space.
I looked at it and like, all right, y'all are just playing up the video game of it all. So I'm like, I'm good with this. I didn't hit a wall there.
Okay.
What I did hit a wall was kind of talking about, you know, I guess like the fight choreography of it all and everything. They were very inconsistent with their fighting abilities.
Ooh, interesting.
So, Cole gets his ass kicked repeatedly.
Right.
He beats Goro when he gets his Arcana, but then gets his ass kicked again with Melina, and he needs help. How is she more threatening than Goro? When in any video game ever, he is the sub-boss to the main boss, if not probably the hardest one to finish.
Goddamn.
And also, there was a weird inconsistency where I realized they used the same footage of him training with Kung Lao twice. So the first time you see him fight Kung Lao, you see the full sequence. But then you see a quick cut of it later on, and it is the same goddamn footage. The same way that he dodges and falls. It is the same movements, and it pissed me off.
That's hilarious.
Did you not realize that?
No. Because I don't think I was looking at it that deeply.
That bugged
the
shit out
of
me.
I love this. I am, like, relishing that you noticed that.
Yeah. So, again, like, inconsistencies with certain things. Like, Sub-Zero, he kills Hanzo's family and freezes them to death. How did he not do that to Cole's family?
Thank you.
How did they get revived? Because of plot armor? No. Fuck that.
Thank you. I was really pissed at that point because I was like, why the fuck is Cole's family, like, saved from this? Because we literally... killed Scorpion's family that
and
way.
Again, another way you could have just made it that Scorpion's soul has taken over his body. he sees the same image of his family frozen again. And now, like, the body of his ancestor takes over, and he's like, I am not laying, like, this happened twice by the same guy. I will finish you.
Yeah.
Again, another way that could have played out better, but meh. Kano, apparently being a weak fighter, who killed Reptile, and then gets his ass kicked by Sonya, gets his ass kicked by Liu Kang. But now that he has his Arcana, it's a big threat.
It's the laser eyes, man.
How is just a laser beam gonna completely change everything?
I will have to say, I did enjoy how creative Sonya's fight with Kano is.
Yes.
Of her using the environment, that was fucking dope.
That was awesome. And it had very much the vibe of, like, Kill Bill, where they fight in a trailer.
In the bathroom? It was, I got that vibe too.
That was a fun vibe. I enjoyed that. But again, the inconsistencies in that respect kind of bugged me.
I can't believe that you noticed that one fucking scene, though.
Yeah.
That, I'm still sticking with that. I need to look at that again.
Check it out. Check it out. It's exactly the same, where he falls the same way and there's a weird slide. I'm like, yeah, all right.
They
man,
didn't even, like, reverse it or anything? No. It's literally shot for shot?
Nothing. They take out some shots, but it's pretty much all the same.
Interesting. What a choice.
With that in mind, I think this might be honorable mention, but I feel like we can talk about this for a decent amount, is... this movie would have been better if it was longer.
Ooh, interesting.
You look at this movie, it is 1:50 with credits. We're kind of used to these big movies being like 2 hours, a little over 2 hours, close to 2.5. But what exactly are we missing in this movie? We're missing the world building and the character development. You give us another, let's say, even 20 minutes of footage of them building this world, of them giving more character dynamics between the people, it could have been a lot more fun.
I'm surprised that 20 minutes could make a difference.
It really could. I mean, like, a scene can change everything, let's be honest.
Because I'm curious, like, who would get part of that time? We have so many characters that we have to deal with. Who gets the 20 minutes? Like, how do we disperse that?
In my mind, where the fuck did Shang Tsung's henchmen come from?
Okay.
Like, oh, hey, I was like, oh my god, my beauty, you are, like, thank god you are here, even though you get defeated faster than any fucking person ever in, like, the shortest sequence possible. But also, there was a few plot holes in that, especially what I dubbed the invasion scene, where Kano destroys the scepter, they all come into the fighting pit. You realize every single one of those fights, besides Liu Kang versus Cabal, the guy with the twin hooks, happened in that fighting pit.
Oh, yeah.
Ranko tosses Jax over the edge and then walks away. Where the fuck did he go?
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
Melina stabs Sonya with her sai, disappears through a portal, so at least we know she just kind of disappears, which, why did Shang Tsung just allow that to happen? And then Kano throws her over the edge, then he just fucks off to who the fuck knows where. Only for Kung Lao to swoop down with the flying chick, cut her in half, but we never see her body ever again, and then somehow they just fuck off anywhere else. So, like, if they just give us a few pieces here and there to kind of just, like, understand what happened here and there, again, giving us some character development where, like, we can appreciate Cole a little bit better. Besides his family, what is driving you? Why do you keep getting up from getting beaten down so many times? Like, his Arcana makes sense to what we've seen. But what is actually driving you? Why do you keep doing this? Because at some point, it's like, if you're doing this for your family, then stop getting your ass kicked and get, like, a fucking security job or somewhere else, or, like, work as a janitor. Like, you getting your ass kicked for $200 a night, that's not helping anyone. You probably have more medical bills than that.
I was very curious with Cole's backstory, specifically, why is he fighting for $200? Like,
exactly.
Does he have another job? Like, I feel like this is just so much assumptions that we have done for, like, other things where I'm like, did he gain enough notoriety and money and sponsorships prior to that? Like, because was it Jax mentioned, like, oh, you're the one that beat so-and-so.
Yeah, he was a former champ at some point, but we never see anything about that. If we could get a little more backstory as to, like, how he became important, how he had that connection to Scorpion, besides just weird exposition from Raiden, who came out of the fucking nowhere.
And his, like, brain, like, dreams. Like, you know what actually slightly bothered me? this would also lean into, like, I really wish we, like, learned more, is that he just barely mentions that he's from Chicago, and, like, that's it. I don't have ties to Chicago, so I'm like, that's, like, some random detail. Like, oh, the great, like, tell me more. Like, you're not giving me enough to work with here.
Exactly. So, in that respect, like, there's more that we could get from these characters. There's more that we can get story-wise that I think another, like, 10, 15, 20 minutes worth of story would really help.
Maybe. I'm not solidly convinced that 20 minutes more would help this film. But again, that's, like, my bias, that I just don't think that the plot was, like a circle. Like, it just didn't fulfill enough.
But within that extra time, that could clean up plot. Like, we had a 2.5-hour movie of the Whedonverse. We had a 4-hour movie worth of the Snyder Cut, where, like, I know there was a lot that changed. At the same time, you gave us a lot of background, a lot of story that helped clean up those messy spots. You could have given us the same thing here that could clean up a few extra spots. Where, like, did you just need him to have connections to Scorpion so you can bring him back for that final fight? That's weak. Do more. Did you just need these extra characters because, oh no, there were characters in the video games. We want more characters from the video games. Give us more of why we should give a shit about these characters for someone who has never played these video games.
Exactly. For me, who has, like, not the biggest tie to this, it's like, sure, it's an entertaining film if you're just coming at it that knowing, like, it's fighting, but, like, if you're coming at it to try to watch it for some kind of story, it fails for almost every single character.
I still feel like they could have gave us more of each character, and that could have been within that 20-minute worth of time that could have helped. To help build the world, to help build the characters, give us that time. Give us that respect, and that, for some people who are just looking for, like, a mindless joyride of, like, Fast and Furious of it all, or, like, there is kind of a plot here, but at the same time, we're just kind of looking for the fun action sequences. But even then, Fast and Furious has kind of like a succinct plot that goes through the movies, despite how ridiculous they are. There is sort of a plot. And plot goes a long way.
Right. And this is the thread that I think that we've been seeing in all of the films that we have been watching, is that if you fail even the basic of plot, it's just not there. Like, that's part of the reason why I think that we watch a lot of these films, because we want the story. We want to connect to the characters. Like, for some reason, people have connected to these characters in the video game world, and, like, we have the expectation and want to do the same in the film. And, like, for sure, for me, like, I wanted to like Cole, but, like, he's just so pretty, and that's it. Like, that's his entire character.
Like, you can't just rely on that one thing. Like, you didn't really have any character depth besides... It's like, Scorpion, I love my family, they got murdered, now I have this whole arc of, like, I just want to redeem their death. So now I'm like, are we ever going to see him again? Are we going to see him in number two? Is there going to be a purpose to him? Will it just be one of those things where now Cole is going to become him? Like, the fuck?
I feel like that's what's going to happen in two, is just, like, Scorpion just goes back to hell, but he's a main character in the video game. So, like, did they just waste him in the first movie, and then now we are never gonna see him again, ever again?
Like, there's a lot of characters that they didn't include, but at the same time, there's also a few characters that they...
wasted.
Not just wasted, but they just wrote off real quick. Where, like, you look at Sonya's research and stuff like that, where it's like, oh, like, through, like, time, they showed all these warriors that fought in this Mortal Kombat and this and that, and then you had, like, Baraka, who was just standing there, and then, okay, so do we get him still, or is he already dead because it's been centuries ago? You had Nightwolf in one of the pictures, and I'm like, so is he gone too, because now you have a new crop of chosen ones, and he's not one of them because he died already? Like, you had Easter eggs, and they were just gone. Like, you had Katana's fucking fan in the back corner the entire goddamn time, and nothing came of it. That weird necklace that Kano stole. What was that? I don't even remember which character had a necklace. And that was a thing. And then they never played off of that again. 5 minutes. You could have explained all those things. Done. Like.
All right. Well, for the sake of time, do you have any final thoughts for these films?
Other than overall, like, still just really loving Sub-Zero. Because in my mind, Ice Powers has a lot of versatile uses. And they ran the gamut with what he could do with his. It was a great move to make him, like, a big bad. him and Scorpion are always kind of like one of those things where like they sit on the fence of who's good and who's bad. And like I remember even back in the old days where after Mortal Kombat 3, they made an entire spin-off video game of just Sub-Zero fighting the Hanzo clan. So you are Sub-Zero going through and fighting Scorpion multiple times over and things like that. So I'm like, so are you good or are you bad? And then now in this version, he's bad and Scorpion's good. So it's always one of those things where that flip-flops a lot, but he was just a lot of fun.
He was fun. As much as I tend to not want to root for villains, I was genuinely excited to see...
You say that, but we've rooted for the villains a lot throughout these movies.
Have we? My bad.
I think we have.
My bad. I try not to, but I guess that's like just my chaotic.
I can't even think of like the other movies right now because like my brain's just kind of like fried, but at the same time, like I'm pretty sure we've enjoyed a lot of the villains before.
Somebody please fact check us.
I mean, just going to the MCU of it all, like between Loki and Killmonger, like, yeah, we fucking love the villains.
Oh, you're right. Never mind. Those are like justified fun ones.
Yeah, we don't have a whole lot of time, but I'm going to mention that after the recording's done. But
okay,
with all this in mind,
okay,
real quick, which one did you think was better, 2021 or 95?
By a long shot, it is 2021. If you had to ask me which one I would, like, rewatch, I would probably rewatch 2021. Only because, for me, I felt like I could make a stretch and relate to Cole in some way. Like, find somebody in that movie that I can relate to. Versus, like, 1995, where it's just like, I kind of don't like anybody in this film.
Yeah, for me, I looked at it like, let's compare bit by bit of like, how are the fight sequences here versus the fight sequences here? How is this character in 95 compared to this character in 2021? So like 2021, obviously you got a shit ton more depth between Sub-Zero and Scorpion, while 95, they're just mindless henchmen. You could do a lot more with the fight sequence in with Goro for the sake of they went CGI and technology advance rather than a puppet. Kano versus Kano. Kano was more fun in this one. World building wise, story wise, character development wise, they were all both kind of just like even. They both lacked in that department. But then also this one, to me, I'm like, this was fan servicey in that you gave us those fatalities. You gave us that grittiness that this franchise is known for. While the first one, they played more to like, we want more money from a wider audience.
Yeah, like we want to introduce this to like folks who don't play this game.
No, but there's a benchmark where that you can go to where it's like, if we're going to make something rated R, a certain demographic can't watch this.
Right.
But if we make something PG-13, a lot of people can watch those things. Case in point, the MCU. Could you have made all those things rated R? Absolutely. Would you have lost a lot of money? Absolutely.
Of course.
So 95, they hedged on the bet of let's make more money. With this one, they're like,
let's give it to the fans.
This is home release and or in theaters. Let's give it to them. So that made it better. So comparing things like that, I thought 2021 was stronger. Ooh, not to say that okay. I'm disappointed with 95. I would easily watch both on my own, but I enjoyed this one a lot, despite some of the hiccups and some of the walls that I ran into with this. So that being the case, rating-wise, ignoring how we rated the other ones, so we don't have to look down that rabbit hole again.
Okay.
What would you rate 95 and 2021?
Oh my god, you're gonna hate this for me. This is truly like, I might leave it at like 1.5, 2 for 95.
Okay.
I just don't want to watch it again. Like, you will have to like force me to watch, or we gotta do like a drinking game to watch it. Like, I just cannot do it. 2021, it leans definitely more like a 5-6, like 5.5-6. Like, or no, lower than that. 4.5-5.
Okay.
It leans closer to a 5 because I enjoyed the fight sequences. And for some reason, again, like, if they just changed, like, two things, literally the fucking Scorpion thing, that would have...
I like our rewrite better. I'm gonna be honest, not just because it came from our brains, but I like our rewrite better.
I like our rewrite better.
I think it would have been so much stronger if they did it that way.
If our rewrite actually happened in the film, that would have been a straight up, like, 7-8. Like, it would have just leaped through so much. Like,
because story-wise, it would be such a stronger
character. Yeah.
And it would also make more sense of why he was having these nightmares/visions.
Yes.
Instead of just like, oh, he's my ancestor. Like, no, there should be a better connection.
It's like the Full Metal Alchemist of it all. Like, is he connected through him, like, soul-wise, and he's, like, taking away his powers? Like, there's just so many things that they could have done.
I don't know.
But they just didn't do it. And that's why it just ranks lower. Sorry, to be clear, it is 4.5 to 5. Like, I would still maybe watch it.
I mean, as a guy who watched it twice in a 5-hour clip, and this is an almost 2-hour movie, clearly I'm good with watching this again.
Joby, I feel like all of the movies we've watched, most of them you would rewatch, except for Fantastic Four.
Decent amount of them. No, I mean, yeah, Fantastic Four, I wouldn't do it again. Elektra, I'd be hard-pressed to watch that again. I would give this a 5.
Okay.
I understand the 4.5, like the 4 to 5 range. I'd give this a 5.
Okay.
Because, like, if you take a lot of the story aspect out of it, just looking at the fights, like, the fight sequences were dope as shit. They were fun.
And I love them.
And I could use even more of them. Like, if you even put, how does Scorpion come out from the Netherrealm? Oh, he fought another dude to win his freedom. So, cool, you got another fight with Scorpion.
That's more plot, though. That's, unfortunately, like, we have to keep adding more things for it to make sense. And that sucks.
They definitely could have done more with it, but it wasn't a complete fail for me. It was exactly what I expected. I was not expecting, like, the cleanest plot. I was just expecting, like, all right, let me see some cool-ass shit. And y'all gave me some cool-ass shit. Even the fight choreography within the MMA fight, where, like, my dad was like, how did he escape that armbar? I'm like, oh, no, I've done that before, where you do that quick spin and you time it out right. It made sense of how he escaped. In my mind, I'm like, oh, shit, like, it's a risky move, but it works.
They're playing, I feel like they were playing dirty, but I feel like I don't watch enough MMA to, like, really say yes or no.
A little bit with a couple things, like, the downed knee is always risky, but I'm just thinking when his opponent spun out of the thing and put him in the crucifix, I'm like, oh no, that makes a lot of sense of how that could happen. Like, the flow of that made sense. He definitely should have just won that fight in the beginning, but whatever. You needed him to get his ass kicked so it could carry along throughout the rest of the movie. Whatever.
Gotta love that survivor's guilt.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, we are just about at time. We definitely still have a lot of thoughts for Mortal Kombat. So maybe we'll do a follow-up. That's not promised. But, you know, if you have any commentary for us, definitely hit us up on social media. We are at Movie Masochists on Instagram and at Movie Masochists _ on Twitter. Please, please, please tell us all your thoughts and opinions, because we are definitely ripe with so many thoughts. And that being said, this has been the Movie Masochist Podcast, where two friends try to find the fun in painful films. I have been Kim.
And I have been Joby.
Thank you for joining us. Catch you next time. Bye.
See ya.